Good evening. I'm grateful to be here and to share the Word of God with you tonight. Thank you to Pastor Raymond for this opportunity to preach. Our text tonight is Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, as we've just heard Amy read. So you can turn over to Romans 4, looking at verse 23, starting there. Before we look at the Scripture, I invite you to think for a minute about candy. This is, in fact, a season of candy, as we are fast approaching Halloween. You go to the store and you buy one of those big giant bags of mixed bags of candy, all sorts of candy. Which one of those is your favorite? Which one of them do you secretly hope that the trick-or-treaters don't get all of? Which ones do you maybe pull out and stash back for yourself so that you'll have them to enjoy after Halloween? For me, one of those is Starburst. Could have been a lot of things, but Starburst. Particularly the pink ones. So if you think about it, like, all the candy's good, right? But particularly, we all have our favorites, and so I just really enjoy the pink Starburst. Similarly, if I ask you tonight, what are some of your maybe top three verses or books of the Bible, Romans would probably be in the majority of your answers. Some of you may have even been saved hearing the Word of God through the Gospel Simple Roman Road presentation. As we read the Bible carefully, we often come upon these wonderful, tasty morsels that are densely packed with truth. And tonight's message is one of these tasty morsels. A simple reminder of the gospel that we believe and that we proclaim to the world. Our time is short tonight, but I encourage you to go home and to read Romans, at least chapters 1 through 8, just through in one sitting this week. It's probably one of the clearest presentations, explanations of the gospel that we find in the Scripture. We need to know it, we need to memorize it. We need to marinate on it, meditate on it, remind ourselves of it daily, and share it with our neighbors, those that we come in contact with throughout the week. As a reminder about Romans, the Apostle Paul begins unashamedly proclaiming the truth of the gospel. He says in chapter 1, verse 16, is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. He then labors for about two chapters to explain our universal need for the gospel. Chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, he says, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." And we think of Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 23. "We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You see, the problem is that God is absolutely just in his wrath against all of us. We all have sinned against him. Then Paul begins the context of our message tonight. Look at chapter 3, verses 24 through 25. Justification by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. A couple of big words here. Justification simply means the legal declaration of being not guilty. Propitiation meaning appeasing the wrath of God. It's a sacrifice that appeases the wrath of God. When we come across big words like this, we need to slow down and pay attention. In chapter 4, as Amy has just read for us, Paul uses the example of Abraham's faith to show that justification has always been by faith in God, never by works. From Genesis 15:6, he quotes, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Paul then shows how Abraham was counted righteous by God. Let's read verses 23 through 25 again. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This is the word of God to us. As we look to verses 23 through 25, notice first that Abraham's righteousness was counted for our sake. There's a lot packed into that statement, for our sake. Church, this is a reminder to us that from the beginning, God had you in mind. From the very beginning, God has counted the unrighteous as righteous through faith in him. We may be tempted to think that God changed the rules between the Old Testament and the New Testament, but Paul points us all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, to Abraham's story found in Genesis 12 through 25, in the first book. This is recorded in Scripture that we might understand that God's grace is also to us through faith. Look back in verses 16 through 17. He says, "That is why righteousness depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations." Like Abraham, Abraham's covenant children will also be counted righteous by faith. Paul wants us to understand this is always how it works. God does not change. God is just. God is righteous. God is faithful to keep his covenants. Church, we need to understand the weight of this amazing statement, for our sake. Righteousness is counted to us in the same way that it was counted to Abraham. All of us are unrighteous with God's wrath justly against us, unless we are credited righteousness by faith like Abraham. The question then is, how can God judge or count or credit unrighteous people as righteous people through faith? And Paul answers this in his next statement. Notice second, the unrighteous are counted righteous only when the object of their faith is God. Look again in verses 24 and 25. Righteousness is credited to us only when we believe Abraham's God. Paul says, "Him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord." We may often hear people say things like, "I'm a person of faith," or describe their religion as their faith. We hear athletes talk of faith around sporting events, or maybe around prosperity gospel presentations. If you believe enough, it will come to pass. Just have faith and it will happen. You will win the game. You will avoid the sickness. You will achieve greatness. You will fill in the blank if you have faith. The problem is that while someone may believe something is true and may put their whole life into it, it does not make it true. Our faith and our beliefs are only as true as the object they are grounded in. I recently listened to a podcast by David Seals. He used the analogy of a glass of poison to explain this. We can believe that a glass of deadly poison is really high-quality drinking water. But if we drink it, the truth is revealed. It is not water. And the lie has cost you your life. Your faith was not grounded. Look back in verse 20. No unbelief made Abraham waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. See, Abraham's faith was grounded in God, the God who was able to keep his promises, the God who proved that he was able to keep his promise by raising Jesus from the dead. The Roman church could testify to this, that God had both kept his Old Testament covenant to Abraham, since they were his spiritual descendants by faith, and they testified that God had raised Jesus from the dead. The promises made to Abraham have become a reality through Christ Jesus. The resurrection is the evidence that God is true and able to keep his promises. We are also witnesses of these things, just as the Roman church was. We are also counted righteous through faith in God. God has justified us through faith in Christ. God is just when he counts us righteous because of what he has done for us in Christ. Specifically, the two things Paul mentions here in verse 25. Look first, God delivered over Christ because of our transgressions. We were guilty, and Jesus paid the penalty for our sins by dying on the cross. This points us back to the text we read this morning, Isaiah 53:4-6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And it points us forward to what Paul says next in chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows us his love. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God counts us righteous through faith in Christ because Christ has removed our guilt by paying our debt on the cross. Notice second, God has raised Jesus because of our justification. Martin Luther noted that his resurrection is the raising up of righteousness. Through his resurrection, he procured for us righteousness. It's not merely the pledge of our righteousness, it's its cause. Another commentator says, his resurrection authenticates and confirms that our justification has been secured. The resurrection of Christ constitutes evidence that his work on our behalf has been completed. If Christ has not been raised, then we are still dead in our sins. If Christ has not been raised, then he is not at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Just as we sang this morning the song, Jesus Saves, we said, it is done, we'll shout the cross. Christ has paid redemption's cost, while the empty tomb's declaring, Jesus saves. Christ died for our sins, and was raised for our justification. He has died to remove our guilt, and he has credited his righteousness to us through faith in Christ. Righteousness is and has always been counted to us by faith in God. This is a present reality, not a promised reality. By God's grace through faith in Christ, our debt is paid and our account is full. Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel. This is the gospel of the Reformation that we celebrate 500 years this month. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Here we stand. The Reformers broke away from the Catholic Church because of scripture like this. Just as it was for the Romans, the issue is the same for us tonight. We are all sinners deserving of the wrath of God. Are you counted righteous or not? Why? If you're not counted right with God tonight because you have not believed God as Abraham did, listen to Romans 10, 8 through 10. The word of God, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. I would invite you to please come to talk to me or Pastor Raymond after the service if you have any questions about this, about how you can be counted right with God. If you are counted right with God tonight, it is always and only because you have faith in God through Christ's work for you. There is nothing you have done that you can do to earn it. God has done for you what you could not do for yourself. Let this reminder of God's amazing grace motivate you to share it with others this week, that they may also be counted righteous through faith in God. Think about the conversation that Pastor Raymond points us to often when you meet someone on the street and ask them simply, how do you know if you're a Christian or not? And we can listen. Do we hear a credible profession of faith in Christ? If not, we can point them to this text. You will not be justified, you will not be counted righteous before God unless you have faith in Christ. It's right here in the text. Let this truth encourage you as you walk through whatever happens this week. I don't know what this week will bring. Last week it brought news of the Las Vegas shooting. But we can have confidence in the midst of these things that we are saved by God's grace through faith in Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us tonight. This gospel message that we proclaim. And it is incredible, Father, that we who deserve your wrath are counted righteous before you because you sent Christ to die for us, that our penalty, our debt might be canceled, and our account credited and clothed with his righteousness. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace to us. I pray that we would rest in it this week, that it would motivate us to proclaim it in our families, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our community, to those whom we come in contact with. We thank you for Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon audio of the Journey Church. Join us for worship each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. as we strive to be a place where people encounter Christ, experience community, and exist for others. You can discover more about the Journey Church by visiting us online at thejourneywc.org.